from the guilty pleasures.
Kylie Jenner to the foyer. I have a little surprise for you.
Some chicken!
To the thrill of the rose.
This is the tough part. Unfortunately, there's going to have to be people that go home tonight.
And the jaw-dropping scandals.
You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad.
I cheated on
two in one weekend.
Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host,
ladies and gentlemen,
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, and I am very, very excited about my guest this week. As many of you may know, usually there are a ton of For Your Consideration panels going on this time of year as Emmy voting is underway. And if that was happening, The Biggest Loser came back this year and could be nominated for Outstanding Competition Series, among others. I had the opportunity to go to set twice during the season, and although it definitely comes through on screen, I can't even explain how powerful the impact is when I'm there face-to-face with these trainers. So I'm going to get a little bit of that insight today. So joining me this week is Erica Lugo, who I will say is one of the strongest women I've ever met. Thank you so much for joining.
No, thanks for having me. I'm excited. I feel like I haven't talked to you forever, so this is awesome.
I know. It's a little catch-up session. How has life been?
Oh, girl, it's been chaotic for everyone.
It's the craziest time right now.
I know. I feel like I'm stuck in a really bad movie.
I think everyone feels that way.
Yeah.
So I want to rewind a little bit, go back a little before we get into what's happening now. After the finale aired in December, you went home. You got to watch the show in real time. You got to see the world's reaction. What was that like for you? What was that process like?
I don't know. You know, a lot of people ask me that. And to me, I feel like since it was my job, it wasn't as like, ooh, and as it was for everyone else. For me, it was like, okay, that was my job. I can do better next time. If that makes sense for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were like, oh, let's get together and watch it and have watch parties and eat popcorn or healthy snacks for you, Erica. And let's get together and have a good time. And for me, I'm like, no, it was my job. Like, I'm watching it and I'm analyzing it and seeing how I can do better for next time. So it was a little bit of a different experience than what I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to go into it as a watch party, a celebration every single time. And it was completely different than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I'm sure. Was it emotional for you to watch?
It was, because, you know, for me, I knew that I've always wanted my career to get to where it got. So for me, it was like, wow, I finally was able to witness my career going to where I always wanted it to go. So that was a really neat thing for me to witness. And then it was a, okay, I can do better next time. So it was a celebration, but a surreal moment of, okay, let's see where we can keep going and how we can do better for next season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like we're all our own worst critic anyways, so that's naturally going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
How was it for your family and for the people that, I mean, obviously you have a gym, you're training usually at your gym when it's open. I think it's open now. It reopened again.
Yes. We finally got to open in July. So we got to open May 26th is when we got to reopen. So we've been reopened for a little over a month and a half now.
That's amazing. That's so great. Yeah. So how was it for everyone that kind of knows you? What was their reaction to all of it?
No, my girls, what I love, and I just had this conversation with someone the other day, what I love about Ohio is everyone humbles me. No one cares what I do for a living. No one at all. You know, my city, they were excited for me, but they're like, we've always known Erica's done these kind of things before The Biggest Loser. If it was not TV, it was Women's Health Magazine, or it was commercials, or it was TV shows. For them, it was nothing new. And I think everyone knew that that's what I was always striving for. So it was exciting to a point, but they definitely keep me humble and keep me real to the point where, like, okay, like, you're still not different. We just always knew that this was what you're going to do. So it was to be expected, if that makes sense. It was nothing like mind blowing for them, because they always knew that that's what would end up someday.
Right. Absolutely. Did the show change kind of the way that anything about, like, the way that you train or the way that you relate to the contestants? I mean, you have such a story that you have this way to relate to the contestants that many other trainers don't have, but has any of that changed at all since the show?
Not at all. You know, I train people the same way that I've always trained people. And I loved going back to my studio because if anything, you know, I felt like the show, you know, definitely took me out of my little bubble and it put me in a really big bubble. Mm-hmm. On a grand scale, it was a national scale. And I loved going back home because it was my little comfort zone, right? It was my space where I felt in my little element the most. And it was my hometown people. And it was the people who really trusted me when I first got certified and had no clients whatsoever. And they were like, you know what, I will trust you to train me. And I will wholeheartedly give you everything because I believe in you. And those people were the exact same people who were welcoming me back when I got back from The Biggest Loser. So I just went right back to it. And I loved it. And it just felt really comfortable. And nothing has really shifted. You know, I went back to the studio. And one of the first rules I implemented was I am not going to be taking on a lot of mass new clients, because for me, I think the first thing everyone expected was for my business to blow up. And that's exactly why I implemented that rule, because I did not want people to work with me because I'm a Biggest Loser trainer. Sure, I would love to make millions and millions of dollars, but that's not what I'm in it for. I want people to work with me because they want to change their lives, not because I'm a Biggest Loser trainer. So I actually scaled back my business. And I said, I don't want to just work with people because of me being Erica Lugo. I want people to work with me because they really want to change their lives. Mm-hmm. So that's been a very interesting thing. You know, I know my trainers are probably at my studio. They're probably like, take advantage of this and let's use this. But I think they actually appreciate that more from me. And I think my clients appreciate that more from me, that we don't have that business model to just take on anyone who wants to walk in the studio because who I am. And the people that we do take on actually appreciate that more. And they're more grateful for the opportunity of working in the studio.
Absolutely. I think that is so rare that you see that, because not that it's a bad thing at all for people that do it, but a lot of people that go on any reality TV, they do, you know, use it to their advantage in a way to make more money or for your career. I mean, it's, again, not a bad thing at all if that's what you do, but.
No, it's smart. I mean, it's smart. Yeah. It's hard to maximize your opportunities, but it's not in my heart of hearts to want to do that. So right. it's what works for whoever it works for.
Yeah, absolutely. Something I also wanted to talk to you about is that you, obviously your social media is very, very uplifting. And I think that I would assume is a lot of the reason why people would want to train with you also. And something you posted recently actually helped me. And one of my friends sent it to me and was like, did you see this? And I said, yes, of course I saw it. But that you had shared like your legs, that they were toned, but they also move walk like a human being. I love that you showed that. And you showed like your stretch marks that you have, you know, that doesn't have any impact on your worth and things like that.
Right.
You've really used your social media to kind of help others and promote body that being healthy. Is that something that you've just wanted to do from day one because of your journey? Is that something that was like impacted as well on the show?
Yeah. You know, I think coming off the show has really maybe flourished that need to do that more, because coming off the show, I've really struggled with that image more so. And the reason being is because for me, I've always wanted to change the way people viewed fitness, because me going into the fitness world, I've always felt very unwelcomed, and I'm still struggling with those demons now because I am 5'11". My hands are bigger than my husband's. I'm just built bigger. I've always been a bigger built person. I'm not going to be smaller than a size 8'6". That's just not my build. And I'm from a Latin descent. Like, I have curves. My body is built a certain way. And I had a really hard time feeling welcome in the fitness industry because, you know, most of the girls in fitness, and not taking away any hard work and dedication from them, because they all work very hard for their life and their body. But most of them are shorter, and most of them, you know, are size 0 or size 2. And most of them don't have the curves that I was naturally given. And that's okay, but that's what the normal fitness industry looks like. And legs that don't jiggle like mine, and they don't have stretch marks, and they don't have, you know, the jiggles that I do or the cellulite that I do. So when I got on the Biggest Loser set, you know, I felt really awkward when I got there because, you know, I remember the wardrobe and the wardrobe when I got there, I actually had conversations with them, and I loved everything about the set. They were so welcoming and they listened to me. And I said, I don't wear crop tops. And they're like, okay. But they were so used to the trainers wearing crop tops all the time that they just had to change what they gave me. And I loved it. They were like, sure, whatever you want, we got it. And they changed the wardrobe and they're like, here, we'll give you what you want. But that's just what normal trainers do, is they wear crop tops. And I'm like, I had a baby. I weighed 322 pounds. I mean, that's just not going to work because I have stretch marks and loose skin that will hang out. And I just don't feel comfortable showing that on national television.
Right.
So after The Biggest Loser, I really wanted to show the world, because, you know, after the show, I actually on social media got a lot of heat for my body type being a trainer on the show. And I wanted to kind of be like, screw you. I'm very proud of it. And there are millions of girls out there who reached out to me and said, you know what? I was always ashamed of my size 10 body type, but I'm strong as hell. I'm healthy for the first time I've been in years. I've struggled with eating disorders to get healthy. I've thrown up my whole life to become a size 8. And I no longer want to do that anymore. I want to be proud. And you made me feel better. And I want to stop an eating disorder. Or I want to start lifting weights because of you. You've inspired me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to show it. And I'm going to show people that you can be a size 8, 10, or 12, or 14, whatever you are, and be healthy and strong. And that's okay. Like, fitness does not have a body type. Now, there's a fine line of what being healthy is, but it doesn't have a body type. It doesn't. So I'm like, you know what? I'm your normal everyday person. I've got cellulite and stretch marks. I'm strong as hell, but it does not make any impact on how awesome I can work out and how strong I am or how knowledgeable I am about fitness. And even today, like, there's some fitness influencers, and you obviously would never name names, but I've gotten some DMs from some well-known fitness influencers who are like, you should probably tone down the way you preach about fitness. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So it's interesting, really interesting, but I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's working for you and it's working for the group that follows you. And that's a big group of women who don't have a size 2 body. Not everyone is born with that body. So I think it's nice that you kind of have this message that you're sending that's saying that regardless of how you were born, you can be a healthy build no matter what.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, big fan. I love it. And I meant to tell you, because we will tell our viewers, we got to go to dinner together in January, right after the season ended. And I loved that you still eat food you want to eat as well. You still can you have a healthy regimen that you know what works for you, and that you're not immediately we brought a girlfriend with us to dinner, and we immediately were talking beforehand that we went, like, she was like, you know, do we need to order really healthy? Do we need to do this? And I was like, she doesn't care. Like, you do what you want to do. That's right for you. And that's something that's such an important message to send.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, everyone always like will be fearful of going out to eat with me at first. And when I say, can I order the chips and queso? They're all like, you know, like, it's really funny. And I will always, like, there's a story with Bob and I. We were doing some meeting with the network. I forget what it was. It was a breakfast meeting. And I was like, can I have ketchup, please? And Bob looks at me and goes, ketchup, huh? And I was like, yeah, Bob, ketchup. And he just laughed at me because he was joking. But it's like funny how, you know, people automatically think that we just have these strict regimens. Like, when we're human too, we know how to fit it in our lifestyle. Like right now, I took my son away. I like to do these once a year trips with my son when I can, where I just take him to a hotel and we just go swimming. And, you know, we went to dinner last night and I was like, you know what? My son loves it when we go to the certain city, Indy, and he loves these cheese curds in Indy, the city Indy. And last night we had cheese curds, marinara sauce. And it's like, okay, no big deal. I woke up this morning before he woke up and I killed a 90-minute workout and I just move on with life. You know, like, right. It's just, you fit it in where you can and you move on.
Totally. And I think one of the other things I want to talk to you about, for those who don't know your past and everything that you've been through, you obviously fought very hard and beat cancer. And I think that's such an incredible thing to show, that you also have like this appreciation for life that people may not have if they don't, you know, they don't go through that. And that's some, like, you still do what you want to do because of that as well. I know this year you went through a lot of COVID screenings, which is crazy. You had to go to screenings during everything going on. What was that process like?
This year was, I mean, honestly, this has probably been one of my craziest health years because it was, you know, 1 year post-cancer treatments and then obviously with COVID. So I actually, we just got off the tail end of doing all the Biggest Loser press tour at beginning of March. So I was away for Telemundo in Miami at the beginning of March. And I remember March 13th, I just wasn't feeling very good. And I remember texting my trainer and said, hey, can you cover for my sessions on Saturday? I just really don't feel good. It was March 14th. And then that 16th, our governor actually shut down our gyms in Ohio. I didn't think anything of it, but I just had like a low grade fever. And with my autoimmune disorders, I get low grade fevers all the time anyways. It's my body's way of saying, hey girl, calm down. Like your body's just run down. Like it's just normal for me. So I thought, you know, maybe my body's just kind of really tired because I've been traveling, doing the press tour all the time. So, and it lingered for a few weeks, which again is normal if I'm just super, super run down. And then I got a sore throat and I was like, oh, that's a little different. Like I've had my tonsils taken out. That's a little weird, but whatever. And then I just was like worn out and tired and it lingered. And then I started having like, I needed to catch full breaths. And I was like, and I was like, well, that's weird. And then I called my doctor and he's like, well, you were in Miami. And if you're having a hard time breathing, I'm going to call you on an inhaler. Never needed an inhaler in my life. And then, so he's like, I want you to go through drive-through testing and get tested. So I go get tested and my test gets lost in the earthquake that happened in Utah. Go figure. But the test was awful. Up my nose. It poked my brain and it was up 45 seconds. It was the worst. So my tests get lost in Utah, go figure. Meanwhile, my test for my thyroid cancer, because you have to have a 1 year post-cancer scan, is getting delayed. So that's kind of concerning because I can tell my thyroid's all out of whack. I'm so tired. My skin's super dry, which means I'm super hypothyroid state. Again, my fatigue is super strong. Like my body, like I'm like starting to get puffy again. I gained 8 pounds and I thought, well, I've ate too much quarantine snacks like ever, and I'm not able to lose the weight. Like my body's honestly just a mess. I'm not feeling good. My thyroid's low. And I'm like, this is a terrible time of COVID and my thyroid. So then we're starting to inch out of, and I'm still like battling, like I'm using my inhaler. So then I'm starting to feel better. And then I go get an antibodies test and my antibodies test comes back inconclusive. So my doctor was like, I'm pretty positive you had it because the antibodies test was still new. Mm-hmm. So he thinks I might've had it. The kids were sick for a little while. So we don't know. I'm going to go back and get another one. But then my thyroid stuff, I was finally able to go get that done. Thank God I am clear and I am clean, free of thyroid cancer. Thank goodness. But unfortunately, because of all the delayed with hospital treatments and getting myself checked out, I am extreme hypo state, which means like my thyroid levels are so off the charts low that my body can't even register me having metabolism. My body can't even register me having any kind of thyroid levels in general. So it's like starting from scratch. So I'm extreme fatigue. My body has no metabolism right now. You know, my skin's super dry. My hair was falling out for a long time. You know, mood swings, my body temperature. And that was another thing that was freaking me out with COVID. My body temperature can drop. So I get super cold and then it can spike and I get super hot. So it's like starting from scratch. So it's been a really weird time for me health-wise, which makes me so much more thankful for my health when I do have good days. But, you know, I'm getting better. It makes me so much more thankful for my weight loss journey because I am so in tune with my body and I know how to be aware of my body and treat my body that I couldn't imagine if I hadn't gone through my weight loss journey, how much more worse I would be right now if I didn't have that knowledge.
Wow. I don't know how you have gone through all of this and remained like someone normal and have a normal life as a way. Like you've just gone through so much more. I mean, everyone has gone through a tough couple months here. This isn't an easy time for anyone, but man, you are a trooper.
Yeah. It's been a rough couple months, girl. And then homeschooling and loved it. it's been interesting for sure.
Well, on the positive side, you know, just randomly dropped the word husband earlier, which is incredible. Yeah. I love it. Right after the finale, you got engaged.
I did. Yeah.
I got to meet him on set and adorable, so sweet, loves you so much, which is the nicest thing to see, obviously, ever. Then you guys got married and did it via Zoom, which is so freaking cool. Not really the way you planned. Yeah.
No, it was not the way we planned, but 4/4, really special date for us. So we wanted to keep it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. How has it been? I mean, obviously you didn't get to take a real honeymoon. How has it been basically having your first couple months of marriage in quarantine?
Interesting. I mean, Danny is definitely my soulmate. We love each other. But I mean, the first year of marriage is hard for anyone, but add in homeschooling 3 kids because he has 2 kids and then I have my son. And then he is also a business owner. I'm a business owner. So, you know, when COVID locked down, we thought our businesses were going to be pulled out from underneath us. And he had his for 15 years and his more than I, because I was very thankful that I had online businesses and I, you know, work with Biggest Loser and Planet Fitness. So I had multiple other, you know, irons in the fire. Him, no, his is a very, you know, local in-person kind of business. So, you know, thinking that your whole livelihood is going to be ripped from you, you know, that's a stressor. And then, you know, having to lay off your employees, that's a stressor, and losing lots of money, that's a stressor. And just like worrying about your parents' health and the health of everyone. And, you know, people are buying toilet paper all over the place. Like your life changes overnight. It's been stressful. I mean, I would love to say like marriage is bliss in the first couple months, but for us, it's been, we've dealt with lockdown and kids at home and my health issues. I was super worried about my cancer scan. And then obviously my COVID scare. And then we got a new puppy because I'm crazy. So I've been up every night and I'm not sleeping. So it's been a lot. Now that things are starting to get back to normal, obviously it's like, oh, we can kind of enjoy a little bit of normalcy again, mm-hmm. You know? But we definitely got engaged and got married at a very, very hard time. But I keep saying, if we can get through this, we can literally get through anything. So, and it's funny, that's kind of how our relationship has been. When we first started dating, I got diagnosed with cancer. And then a year after that, then I was away for, you know, 12 or 13 weeks for The Biggest Loser. So like our relationship's always been go through hurdles and we always get through it. So I think once this weird time frame's over, we'll be able to get to like a little bit of normalcy of a new marriage. So you get tested and you get through it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you faced so many hardships right from the start. And like you said, like you made it through that and not only made it through that, but like flourished through that. So that's a great sign.
God love him. He puts up through a lot. So the man is stronger than hell for sure.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So my last thing, I think we talked a little bit about this before during the show was going on. What do you think you learned the most about yourself while you were doing the show?
Oh my gosh. What did I learn the most about
myself? Besides that you're a bad loser, which I loved that you also learned that.
Bad loser. I am a really, really bad loser. That's the biggest thing I learned about myself is I am a sore loser. And I thought I was a great loser, but I still care too much about what people think of me. I was like, oh, I'm used to it. I have a thick skin. I've lived my life online for far too long. Like it's easy for me to like let things go. But once the show came out and then I think for me, because of that, like I was used to just people I didn't know would say things and I could easily roll it off. But then people of semi-influence would send me DMs, like I said earlier in this interview, would send me DMs and they'd be like, you know, you might want to lay off like how you do that, or like you're not really that great of a trainer, or blah blah blah. And I'm like, really? I think once I started seeing people of influence would want to say stuff, and I know it may be out of jealousy or whatever. I still care about what people think. I think to some degree, you're always going to care. But for me, it's more than just to some degree. So I've gotten much better since the show's come out. And I think the more and more I progress in my career, I'll get better. Like Bob's always said, he's like, girl, you're going to get to a point where you just bat an eyelash, you know? Been in it for so long that for him, it's so much easier versus it's only been one season for me. So, and I would love to have a second season, but you know, everyone's health with COVID is much more of a concern than a second season. So hopefully I'd get another chance to have that and help with my giving an F about what people think of me.
Absolutely. Well, I will say, I think you help a lot of people, including myself. I will say, like, I'm not confident in my body. A lot of people aren't, but it's like, when you look at someone who is, you know, a influencer and also is a successful trainer, show that, hey, my body's not perfect either. Like, it makes you feel good. So I think that you are definitely doing your part. And it shocks me that someone would ever message you and say that you are not doing a good job or something like that. That's mind-boggling to me.
Blur people, but you know what? You go rock that bikini on your parents' back patio.
Thank you so much. And you too. Enjoy your weekend getaway. Thank you so much for chatting. I really appreciate it. I hope I can see you in person again soon.
Soon. I hope sometime we can do another media getaway at a hotel and just chill, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Erica, thank you so much. Stay safe, okay?
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you all so much for listening to this week's podcast. As always, we are going to wrap up with some shout outs, starting with the woman of the week. I'm so excited about this. Javicia Leslie is going to be the new Batwoman on the CW series after the exit of Ruby Rose. The character will be very different, so it's definitely worth checking out. For our woman to watch, we have to go with Amy Schumer this week because her new docuseries, Expecting Amy, drops on HBO Max. It really chronicles her pregnancy, which was not easy, as well as doing her comedy special at the same time. She definitely does not hold back and she shares her entire life. So we got to give her a lot of credit because that's not easy to do. What to Watch has to go to the challenge finale because it's airing next Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on MTV. It is going to only be a one-part finale, so I know in the past people have asked, is there going to be multiple episodes? Nope, this one is just the one part, so make sure to tune in to find out who wins. As always, guys, please subscribe on iTunes and let us know what you think. Leave us a 5-star review or leave a comment. You can also reach out to me on social media at Emily Longaretta and let me know what you're watching, what you're loving, and what you're not. I want to hear all of it. Thanks, guys.